office last year, and I think we've already worked 10 years worth of work out of her by now. She's the administrator for the new Sustainable Projects Fund, and we're reaching its one-year birthday. The Sustainable Projects Fund was actually a result of a student referendum where students actually voted to provide a certain amount for credit for sustainability projects, provided that the administration would provide matching funds for it. And she'll be talking about the fund, the projects, and elements of how to make a sustainable, strong application to the fund if you have a specific idea that you'd like to have implemented in the house. Lynn, if you could just stay here. It's cool.
Anita was telling me that we have at least five people that are currently streaming in by the website, so hello to them as well. I'm just going to give, first of all, how many of you have heard of the Sustainability Projects Fund? Okay, fantastic. So this overview will be very quick then. But I think it's important to start with the why. I think that when people are doing day-to-day, they get marred down in the what, and I think that why this came to be in the first place is very relevant. So the intention for the Sustainability Projects Fund from the get-go was that it find the most effective leverage point for meaningful change towards sustainability, and that was identified as one of building a culture of sustainability to really meaningfully engage the community so they think differently about how they are in the world, and some might call it a shift in worldview. And so this was done by really developing a best practice model for catalyzing that kind of change by looking at various other kinds of funding structures at other universities and their experience with it so that ours would be standing on their shoulders and learning from their experience. As Kathleen mentioned, it was done in the fall of 2009. That's when the elections were, and students came out in record numbers to vote for a 50-cent per credit per student fee that was approved by SMU and PGSS and MCSS, and that was matched dollar for dollar by the central administration. And this resulted in $800,000 a year for the course of 3 years for projects with a mandate of building a culture of sustainability. So I'm just going to give you a quick overview. I updated this morning, actually. We've now had four deadlines over the past almost a year. First one was last April 9th, I guess. And we're now up to 98 applications, I think I counted correctly. And they're asking a total of just over $2 million. So far, our very diligent review committee, the Sustainability Projects Fund Working Group, has spent 38 hours of meetings, and that doesn't include all of the time that they've actually put in to read through the documents and consider very thoughtfully the merits of each project, and approved 32 total. We continue to meet monthly, so this is a living, living document. And that has committed to this point about 650,000 of the 800 available for this fiscal year. But it's ever changing. So although there are deadlines, you can apply any time, and it will be taken to the working group for review as soon as there's room on the agenda. So I just wanted to give you a quick overview of some of the projects. I don't know if you can. Yeah, I guess it's big enough. So these are the 32 that have currently been approved. And you'll see that they range pretty significantly. Some of them are pretty clear what they are by the title, and others are much more vague. But the interesting thing for me is that about half of them are student-led, about half of them are staff-led, and something that was not necessarily intentional but has definitely emerged is that all but maybe two or three are very genuinely collaborative, that there are only a couple that are really only one stakeholder group. And those are usually ones that are very targeted toward key decision-making stakeholders. The rest are with a more sort of broad-based, broad-based engagement approach. And so it's been really exciting to see new relationships develop as a result, new networks emerge of people that it makes a lot of sense to be working together but haven't necessarily until now. So the last thing was the criteria. You can find the document on the website, but there are seven. And the first two are commitment and well thought out, and those are pretty clear. When I get ones that were written quickly by somebody who hasn't actually really thought about this, it's quite clear. And the middle three are what we really mean by building a culture of sustainability. So that's engagement of the community in a sort of more of a broad-based way, or key decision-making stakeholders. Having an effective communication strategy, which I think gets back to the why, so that the community really understands why you're doing this project. And nurturing learning and behavior change. So this all really ties in with the mandate of McGill as a university. And then the last two are impact versus cost, bang for buck, and a question of institutionalization. What is your project going to look like in the future? The intention of the Sustainability Projects Fund is to be seed money, to kickstart the process, not to fund it for the same amount every year forever. And so shifting business as usual is the intention behind that criteria. My role is to be able to advise at any point in the process. I think it's maybe unique if you are more familiar with granting agencies. And some of my favorite opportunities or favorite meetings are ones where people really just have an idea, and getting to sit down with them and help connect them with the right people on campus to make it happen. So with that, I guess I'd encourage you to get in touch. Again, my name's Lilith Wyatt, and you can get in touch with us at the Office of Sustainability. And thank you very much for your time.
Questions for Lilith? Yes.
I was wondering if any of the projects that were applied were integrated to actual courses.
That's a great question. Actually, the mandate of the Office of Sustainability, when it was founded, had applied student research as one of its key sort of pillars. The intention for my job was that it would be half to coordinate applied student research through coursework. And many of the projects have come directly out of applied student research, and some of the work that we're doing now is to encourage that further. I think that using the campus as a living laboratory makes sense in about 100 different ways, and it's really been an effective way to connect the education that students are getting here with the opportunity to shift how a community actually lives. So, to give you an idea, the Meatless Mondays came directly out of the course. He did the research for a course and then got a stipend to implement it in the dining halls. It's now included in their training manual. There's materials that the dining halls have taken ownership for, and it's a shift in their menu. So it's an education campaign that happens every Monday in all dining halls. The food system administrator was also a proposal that came out of applied student research through coursework, and it was done by the McGill Food Systems Project, but the application was actually submitted by McGill Food and Dining Services, and her role is to source food purchasing locally and sustainably and coordinate further applied student research to define sort of what exactly that means. Most recently, they looked at seafood. The sustainable eating is to create stagiaire opportunities for human nutrition and dietetics students. The Galt Electric ATV and 21 bike racks are mechanical engineering capstone projects that have worked with different members of the administration to create prototypes essentially that can actually be used. And as Alex was mentioning, the Sustainable Thompson House audit has at its core the intention to create further learning opportunities to also use the campus as a living laboratory. So I appreciate that. Great question. Yes.
Since the theme is of today is a lot related to greenhouse gases, do you see projects in there that directly relate to that objective?
Great question. Number 26, actually, is the project that Jerome was discussing earlier, and it came to us much further along than some of the other projects. A lot of the work to actually make it happen had been done, and so stipends for students were funded to help actually get the content of each building up there. So that's one of them. It's not a direct impact in and of itself, but it's a tool that can then be used and is being used in the design of energy residence competitions for the fall. For the other ones, the transport survey, again, is going to be one that's important in tracking. I know Jerome mentioned you can't manage what you can't measure, what you don't measure, and that's an attempt at sort of a across-the-board benchmarking of where we are, and greenhouse gases are included in that. I think, I think also, as Jerome mentioned, it's important to note that we are doing very well in many ways, which means not that we don't need to do more, but that the low-hanging fruit or the kinds of projects that might be available in the States that would cut our emissions in half in 1 year aren't as easily accessible. So it really requires creativity and innovation, and if you see any that should be here that aren't, I encourage you to get in touch with me.
The what not to do's for the fund.
Sure. I think that, well, actually, I think that the biggest what not to do for applying to the fund is maybe to try and do the entire thing by yourself and take on that burden without getting in touch with me first. I think it's usually very effective for me to be able to connect you to other people that are thinking and caring about these kinds of things already, and the kind of people that you'd need to connect with anyway to make the project possible. So really get in touch if you do have an idea as a first step. And one of the only other ones that's come up a few times, just to clarify that it's not this, is if it's something you should really be applying to NSERC for, then maybe apply to NSERC. And that's really because the mandate is shifting culture. It's less R&D on your own. It's less changing light bulbs without telling anybody. It's much more finding ways to really create sort of transformative experiences in whatever realm you're looking to create change in.
Does anybody have any more questions? Thank you
very much.